Most of those who believe they should stop find it very difficult to do so. They find it's become a deeply ingrained habit, a habit they can't change just because they want to.
Good evening. Tonight, we're going to take a hard, tough, abrasive look at camel spotting. Hello.
Hello, Peter.
Now, tell me, what exactly are you doing?
Well, I'm camel spotting. I'm spotting to see if there are any camels that I can spot and put them down in my camel spotting book.
Good. And how many camels have you spotted so far?
Well, so far, Peter, up to the present moment, I've spotted nearly one.
Nearly one?
Call it none.
Fine. And how long have you been here?
3 years.
So in 3 years, you've spotted no camels?
Yes, in only 3 years. I tell a lie, four. Be fair, five. I've been camel spotting for just the 7 years. Before that, of course, I was a Yeti spotter.
A Yeti spotter? That must have been extremely interesting.
Oh, it was extremely interesting. Very, very... quite. It was dull. Dull. Oh, God, it was dull. Sitting in the Waterloo waiting room. Of course, once you've seen one Yeti, you've seen them all.
And have you seen them all?
Well, I've seen one. Well, a little one. A picture of it. I've heard about them.
Well, now, tell me, what do you do when you spot a camel?
I take its number.
Camels don't have numbers.
Oh, well, you've got to know where to look. They're on the side of the engine, above the piston box.
What?
Of course, you've got to make sure it's not a dromedary, because if it's a dromedary, it goes in the dromedary book.
Well, how do you tell if it's a dromedary?
Well, a dromedary has one hump, and a camel has a refreshment car, buffet, and ticket collector.
Mr. Sopwith, aren't you, in fact, a train spotter?
What?
Don't you, in fact, spot trains?
Oh, you're no fun anymore.
No fun anymore.
You're no fun anymore.
Tonight, 30. All right, cut him down, Mr. Fuller.
Oh, you're no fun anymore. Now look, if anybody else pinches my phrase, I'll throw them under a camel.
If you can spot one.
Lady Chairman, sir, shareholders, ladies and gentlemen. I have great pleasure in announcing that owing to a cutback on surplus expenditure of 12 million Canadian dollars, plus a refund of 7.5 million Deutschmarks from the Swiss branch, and in addition adding the debenture preference stock of 3.75 million to the director's reserve currency account of 7.5 million, plus an upward expenditure margin of 11,500 lira due to a rising capital investment of 10 million pounds, this firm last year made a complete profit of a shilling.
A shilling, Wilkins?
Roughly, yes, sir.
Wilkins, I'm the chairman of a multi-million pound corporation, and you are a very new chartered accountant. Isn't it possible there may have been some mistake?
Well, that's very kind of you, sir, but I don't think I'm ready to be chairman yet.
Wilkins, this shilling, is it net or gross?
It's British, sir.
Yes. Has tax been paid on it?
Yes, this is after tax. Owing to the rigorous bite of the income tax, 5 pence of a further 6 pence was swallowed up in tax.
fivepence of a further sixpence?
Yes, sir.
Fivepence of a further sixpence?
That's right, sir.
Then where is the other penny?
Ah.
That makes you a penny short, Wilkins. Where is it?
Wilkins?
I embezzled it, sir.
What? All of it?
Yes, all of it.
You naughty person.
It's my first. Please be gentle with me.
I'm afraid it's my unpleasant duty to inform you that you're fired.
Oh, please, please.
No, out! There's no place for sentiment in big business.
Oh, you'll do fun anymore.
I heard that. Who said that?
He did.
No, I didn't.
Oh, right.
Here is the address to complain to. The Royal Frog Trampling Institute, 16 Rayner's Lane, London, WC Fields. I'll just repeat that. Tristram and Isolde Phillips, 7:30, Covent Garden, Saturday, near Sunday, and afterwards at the Inigo Jones Fish Emporium.
They want to put the license fee up.
And now, here is a reminder about leaving your radio on during the night. Leave your radio on during the night.
A little joke, a little jest. Nothing to worry about, ladies and gentlemen. Now we've got some science fiction for you, some sci-fi. Something to send the shivers up your spine, send the creepy crawlies down your lager and limes. All the lads have contributed to it, his little number entitled Science Fiction Sketch.
The universe consists of 8 billion galaxies, 77 billion miles across. And every galaxy is made up of 1 billion zillion stars. And around these stars circle 8 billion planets. And of all these planets, the greenest and the pleasantest is the planet Earth. In the system of Sol, in the galaxy known as the Milky Way. And it was to this world that creatures of an alien planet came to conquer and destroy the very heart of civilization. It was a day like many another, and Mr. and Mrs. Samuel Brainsample were a perfectly ordinary couple leading perfectly ordinary lives. The sort of people to whom nothing extraordinary ever happened. And not the kind of people to be the center of one of the most astounding incidents in the history of mankind. So let's forget about them and follow instead the destiny of this man. Harold Potter, gardener and tax official. First victim of creatures from another planet.
Quite well, I believe.
Oh, yes, quite well. He was my husband.
Yes. And he never showed any inclination towards being a Scotsman before this happened.
No, not at all. He was not that sort of person.
He didn't wear a kilt or play the bagpipes.
No.
He never got drunk at nights or brought home black puddings.
No, not at all.
He didn't have an inadequate brain capacity.
No, not at all.
I see. So by your account, Harold Potter was a perfectly ordinary Englishman without any tendency towards being a Scotsman whatsoever.
Absolutely, yes. Mind you, he did always watch Dr. Finlay on the television.
Aha! Well, that's it, you see. That's how it starts.
A big one?
Well, you see, Scottishness starts with little things like that and works up. You see, people don't just turn into a Scotsman for no reason at all.
No further questions?
Shh.
Darling.
Charles.
Darling, darling.
Charles, there's something I've got to tell you.
What is it, darling?
It's Daddy. He's turned into a Scotsman.
What? Mr. Llewellyn?
Yes, Charles. Help me. Please help me.
But what can I do?
Surely, Charles, you're the chief scientist at the Anthropological Research Institute at Buckydown. An expert in what makes people change from one nationality to another.
So I am. This is right up my street.
Oh, good.
Now, first of all, why would anyone turn into a Scotsman?
For business reasons?
No, no, only because he has no control over his own destiny. Look, I'll show you.
I see.
Yes, so this means that some person, or persons unknown, is turning all these people into Scotsmen.
Oh, what kind of heartless fiend could do that to a man?
I don't know. I don't know. All I know is that these people are streaming north of the border at the rate of thousands every hour. If we don't act fast, Scotland will be choked with Scotsmen.
Ooh!
Soon Scotland was full of Scotsmen. The overcrowding was pitiful. Three men to a caber. For the few who remained, life was increasingly difficult.
Hello, Mummy.
No, no. Mummy's turned into a Scotsman.
Oh, how horrible. Will they stop at nothing?
I don't know. Do you think they will?
I meant that rhetorically.
What does rhetorically mean?
It means I didn't expect an answer.
Oh, I see. Oh, you're so clever, Charles.
Did Mummy say anything as she changed?
Yes. She did, now you come to mention it.
Well, what was it?
Oh, she said, them. Is there someone at the door?
No, it's just the incidental music for this scene.
Oh, I see.
Them? Wait a minute.
A whole minute?
No, I meant that metaphorically. Them. Them. She was obviously referring to the people who turned her into a Scotsman. If only we knew who they were and why they were doing it. Who are them?
Then, suddenly, a clue turned up in Scotland. Mr. Angus Podgorny, owner of a Dunbar menswear shop, received an order for 48 million kilts from the planet Skyron in the galaxy of Andromeda.
Angus, how are you going to get 48 million kilts into the van?
I'll have to do it in two goes.
The galaxy of Andromeda is 2,200,000 light years away.
Is that so?
Aye, and you've never been further than Berwick-on-Tweed.
Aye! But think of the money, dear. £18 a kilt. That's... £900 million! And that's without sporrans.
I think you ought not to go, Angus.
We'd be able to afford writing paper with our names on it. We'll be able to buy that extension to the toilet.
Yeah, but he hasn't signed the order yet, has he?
Who?
Och, the man from Andromeda.
Och, well... He wasn't really a man, Dickhead.
Not really a man?
He was as strange a thing as ever I saw. Or ever I hope to see, God willing. He was a strange, unearthly creature. A quivering... glistening mass.
Angus Podgorny, what do you mean?
He was nae so much a man as a blancmange.
A blancmange, eh?
Yes, that's right. I was just having a game of doubles with Sandra and Jocasta, Alec and David.
Hang on.
What?
There's five.
What?
Five people. How'd you play doubles with five people?
Well, we were.
Sounds a bit funny, if you ask me, playing doubles with five people.
Oh, well, we often play like that. Jocasta players on the side receiving service.
Oh, yes?
Yes, it helps to speed the game up and make it a lot faster, and it means Jocasta isn't left out.
Look, are you asking me to believe that the five of you was playing doubles, where on the very next court there was a blancmange playing by itself?
That's right, yes.
Well, answer me this, then. Why didn't Jocasta play the blancmange at singles while you and Sandra and Alec and David had a proper game of doubles with four people?
Because Jocasta always plays with us. She's a friend of ours.
Call that friendship? Messing up a perfectly good game of doubles?
It's not messing it up, officer. We like to play with five.
Look, it's your affair if you want to play with five people. But don't call in it doubles.
Well, no.
Look, at Wimbledon, right? If Fred Stolle and Tony Roach played Charlie Passerell and Cliff Drysdale and Peaches Bartkovich, they wouldn't go calling it doubles.
Well, what about the blancmange?
That could play Anne Haden-Jones and her husband, Pip.
A blancmange gave you an order for 48 million kilts?
Aye.
And you believed it?
Aye, I did.
Oh, you're a stupid man, Angus Podgorny.
Oh, look, woman! How many kilts did we sell last year? 9.5, that's all. So when I get an order for 48 million, I believe it. You better believe it.
Even if it's from a blancmange.
Oh, woman, if a blancmange is prepared to come 2,200,000 light years to purchase a kilt, they must be fairly keen on kilts. So cease your prattling, woman, and get sewing. This could be the biggest breakthrough in kilts since the Prophets of Edinburgh sat on a spike. Mary. We'll be rich. We'll be rich.
Oh, but Angus, he hasn't given you an earnest of his good faith.
Maybe not. But he has given me this.
What is it now?
An entry form for the British Open Tennis Championships at Wimbledon Toon. Signed and seconded.
Oh, but Angus, you ken full well that Scots folk didn't know how to play the tennis to save their lives.
Aye, but must go though, dear. I didn't want to seem ungrateful.
Oh, Angus, I wouldn't let you make a fool of yourself.
But I must.
Oh, no, you'll not.
Oh, Mary, Mary. Oh, Mary, look out, look out.
Oh, it's the blancmange.
Now, this is where Mr. Podgorny could have saved his wife's life. If he'd gone to the police and told them that he'd been approached by unearthly beings from the galaxy of Andromeda, we'd have sent a man round to investigate. As it was, he did a deal with the blancmange, and the blancmange ate his wife.
So, if you're going out, or going on holiday, or anything strange happens involving other galaxies, just nip round to your local police station and tell the sergeant on duty, or his wife, of your suspicions. And the same goes for dogs. So, I'm sorry to have interrupted your exciting science fiction story, but then, crime's our business, you know. So, carry on viewing, and my thanks to the BBC for allowing me to have this little chat with you. Good night. God bless. Look after yourselves.
Do sit down, Mr. Podgorny. I think what's happened is terribly, terribly funny. Tragic. But you must understand that we have to catch the creature that ate your wife, and if you could just help us answer a few questions, we may be able to help save a few lives. I know this is the way your wife would have wanted it.
I'll do my best, Sergeant.
Detective Inspector!
Detective Inspector!
Now then, the facts are these. You received an order for 48 million kilts from a blancmange of the planet Skyron in the galaxy of Andromeda. You just showed your wife an entry form for Wimbledon, which you'd filled in when you shone round and saw her legs disappearing into a blancmange. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Are you mad?
No, sir.
Well, that's a relief. Because if you were, your story would be less plausible. Now then, do you recognize this?
Oh, yes! That's the one that ate my Mary.
Good. His name's Riley. Jack Riley, he's that most rare of criminals, a blancmange impersonator and cannibal.
What about the 48 million kilts in the galaxy of Andromeda?
I'm afraid that's just one of his stories. You must understand that a blancmange impersonator and cannibal has to use some pretty clever stories to allay suspicion.
Then you mean...
Yes.
But...
How?
Yes.
Well...
Not.
I'm afraid so.
Why?
Who knows?
You think...
Could be.
But...
I know.
She was...
Yes. Good Lord, what's that? Ah! Riley! Come to give yourself up, have you, Riley? Hey, Riley? Riley?
Riley! It's not Riley! It's an extraterrestrial being! Ah!
So, everyone in England is being turned into Scotsmen, right?
Yes.
Now, which is the worst tennis-playing nation in the world?
Australia.
No, try again.
Australia?
No, try again, but say a different place.
Oh, I thought you meant I said it badly.
No, of course you didn't say it badly. Now, hurry.
Czechoslovakia.
No, Scotland.
Of course.
Now, these blancmanges, apart from the one that killed Mrs. Podgorny, have all appeared in which London suburb?
Finchley.
No, Wimbledon. Now do you begin to see the pattern? With what sport is Wimbledon commonly associated?
For viewers at home, the answer is coming up on your screens. Those of you who wish to play it the hard way, stand upside down with your head in a bucket of piranha fish. Here's the question once again.
With what sport is Wimbledon commonly associated?
Cricket.
No.
Pelote?
No. Wimbledon is most commonly associated with tennis.
Of course. Now I see.
Yes, it all falls into place.
The blancmanges are really Australians trying to get the rights of the Pelote rules from the Czech publishers.
No, not quite. But just look in here. Yes. So these blancmanges, blancmange-shaped creatures, come from the planet Skyron in the galaxy of Andromeda. They order 48 million kilts from a Scottish menswear shop, turn the population of England into Scotsmen, well known as the worst tennis-playing nation on Earth, thus leaving England empty during Wimbledon fortnight. Empty during Wimbledon fortnight. What's more, the papers are full of reports of blancmanges appearing on tennis courts up and down the country, practicing. This can only mean one thing.
They mean to win Wimbledon.
They mean to win Wimbledon.
Well, here at Wimbledon, it's been a most extraordinary week's tennis. The Blancs have swept the board, winning match after match. Here are just a few of the results. Billie Jean King eaten in straight sets. Lever smothered hole after winning the first set. And Pancho Gonzalez serving as well as I've ever seen him, with some superb volleys and decisive return volleys off the backhand, was sucked through the net at match point and swallowed whole in just under 2 minutes. And so here on the final day, there seems to be no players left to challenge the Blancs. And this could be their undoing, Dan, as the rules of Wimbledon state quite clearly that there must be at least one human being concerned in the final. Well, the Blancs is coming out onto the pitch now, and there's a human with it. It's Angus Podgorny, the plucky little Scottish tailor upon whom everything depends. And so it's Podgorny versus Blancs in this first ever intergalactic Wimbledon. And it's Blancs to serve. And it's a good one. 15, love. The ball, but this is no surprise as he hasn't hit the ball once throughout this match. So it's 72 match points to the Blancs now. Podgorny prepares to serve again. This is indeed a grim day for the human race, Dan. But what's this? Two spectators have rushed onto the pitch with spoons and forks. What are they going to do?
They mean to eat the blancmange.
And they're eating the blancmange. Yes, the blancmange is leaving the court. It's abandoning the game. This is fantastic.
Yes, it was Mr. and Mrs. Samuel Brainsample, who, after only a brief and misleading appearance in the early part of the film, returned to save the Earth. But why?
Oh, well, you see, we love blancmanges. My wife makes them.
She makes blancmanges that size?
Oh, yes, you see, we're from the planet Skyron in the galaxy of Andromeda, and they're all that size there. We tried to tell you at the beginning of the film, but you just panned off us.
So the world was saved, and Angus Podgorny became the first Scotsman to win Wimbledon. 15 years later.